our gracious God and our loving Father. That's the posture that we want to bring as we come into your presence now. Lord, we want to have open hearts and open spirits to, Lord, receive that ministry of your grace, of your spirit, of your word, that ministry of encouragement that we receive through each other. Father, we thank you and just open our hearts. Lord, create a receptivity within us to the things that you want to reveal and teach and change and transform in us, that we might more and more follow our wonderful Lord and Saviour Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Great to have you here today. A very special welcome, especially those who are visiting. It's, as you know, a very special service and one that's a bit bittersweet, certainly for Pam and I, and I guess for others a little bit too. So there's a sadness, but there's also an excitement because I just believe that God is going to use Peter and Linda in amazing ways to lead our church forward into the future. And so looking forward to hearing the good reports and getting down here occasionally, because you don't get rid of us that quickly, okay, or easily. Amongst our visitors today, as we said, some family and friends of Peter and Linda. Also Barry McMurtry, great to have you here, Barry. Barry is just clicked over another birthday, and don't know whether you celebrate that, Barry, or want to forget it, or I don't know. Someone said it's interesting, like little kids, you know, when you ask them their age, they think, say, you know, 6 and a half or 6 and 3, you know, they sort of count the halves and the three quarters, and then we forget about that. But then when we get older, have you noticed that a lot of older people say, I'm 67 and a half, you know, they wear it as a real kind of badge of honour. And so I'm not sure what that is for you, Barry. But as you know, after our service, we're going to share in, I guess, a brunch. Morning tea, lunch. Many thanks for those who've brought a plate of food to share, and hope you can stay around and just share in that wonderful time of fellowship that we'll have after our service. Fantastic. Okay, we're going to come into a time of communion, and this is a very special part of our service every week. Now, remember when Jesus met with his disciples in that upper room, and how much he wanted to share that time with them. This for them also was a time of transition. Jesus said he was about to ascend to the Father, so they were going to have to carry on the ministry that he began without him. So they were going to have to continue on their discipleship. They were going to have to continue on their mission or their commission in the world without him present physically with them. So this was a transitional time. And so Jesus, in this time, left them with two very special things that would help them to do that well. The first thing he left with them was a means by which they could remember him. And as he was sharing that last meal with them, we read that he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup and he also gave thanks and he shared that with them and said, this, you know, is the blood of the covenant or the new covenant for many, for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. So as we share in those emblems, we have a means whereby we can remember Jesus. We can remember his sacrificial death for us. And that's the whole foundation of our standing in God. That's the whole basis upon which we have life and hope. And how important it is that we never forget that we never take that for granted. That as we share in this time of communion, this is a way that we can remember Jesus, who he is, what he's done for us, and all that that means for us. And that's so key. And Churches of Christ have always made a very big deal of that. But there's a second thing that Jesus left with them that night. Not only a means to remember him by, but also an example for them to follow. Because he got up from supper, wrapped a towel around his waist, took a pitcher of water, and began to wash their feet. And afterwards, he said to them, "You call me Lord and teacher, and that's who I am. If I, therefore, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, then I have left you an example for you to do that for each other." So Jesus left an example for us to follow, an example of selfless and sacrificial service, because Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give himself for others. So these are the two things that should be foremost as we seek to follow Jesus, that we have the remembrance of what he has done for us. And that's the whole basis and foundation of our faith, that we keep on holding on to and reminding ourselves so strongly week by week. But there's also the example that he's left us to follow in his steps, to live a life of service for others. And so our devotion, as we share in these emblems, is a devotion that expresses our thanksgiving to Christ and to God for who they are and all that they've done. But also, it's our chance to recommit to following Jesus, not only to think of his cross, but the cross that he invites us to take up daily to follow him and his example. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for this opportunity that we have to remember Jesus in these emblems, to recall his wonderful sacrifice for us. But also, Lord, to realize that that sacrifice is an example for us to follow, and that we would live our lives in the same way he lived his, to take up our cross, to deny self, to put others first, and to follow sacrificially with servant hearts. So, Lord, minister into our spirits again. May this be a time of reflection. May it be a time of recommitment, we ask in Jesus' name.
Today's Bible reading is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and it's titled The Word of Life. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Amen."
I know we're doing a great job because we are ahead of time, which means Barry will be very happy down there. We'll keep you on time. And we've had a bit of Schumer, which I think is just absolutely marvellous. Now, I cannot find my sermon on here, so if Shane, you want to come up and get this thing working for me, it'll be fantastic. Where's Shane disappeared to? Something. Oh, there we go. We're up. But I can't see it on here, mate. I'm a bit slow. There we go. Something's happened.
Oh,
I've got to press that button. There we go. I'll learn. Good on you. Thanks, mate. I wonder if you've ever felt really lonely. I wonder if you've ever felt like you're just not welcome in a place. I remember us moving to a place called Hokitika when I was about 10 or 11. And I took up rugby. Actually ended up being not a bad rugby player, not a great rugby player, but not a bad rugby player. But I remember being selected for a representative team, and I was a young guy, really shy, really low self-esteem, really didn't think much of myself, really aware of the way that I speak. And so I was kind of afraid of a lot of things. I remember going to the representative practice, really proud of the fact I'd made this team. I turned up, and the first thing that happens was the coach looked at me and said, "What are you doing here?" And it's funny, every time I go to a place, you know, 40 years later, I still feel worried that maybe I'm not meant to be in that place. Maybe I've turned up at the wrong time or the wrong day. Although we were having dinner with friends the other night and we turned up the night before, wondered why they weren't there. We did tell them the next night that that was happening. I wonder, imagine what it's like for the person who comes to church for the very first time. They see the sign, they hear the noise, they look at the website, because that's the first thing you do, and they go, oh, I'll give it a go. Imagine they come in that door and what strange feelings they have. The strange thing that we do, we sing songs together. We take what looks like a meal but isn't really a meal. And we do all these strange things. And you wonder how many times somebody comes in that door and just doesn't feel welcome. Who in this community is the person that most exhibits the welcome? So if you had to name a person that is the most welcoming person in this community, who would you say it is? I was wondering if Beth's name would come up, actually. Pam, yeah, yeah. There are just some people that just welcome you. My mum is probably the person that does it for me the most. Very uncomfortable to me because I'm not that kind of person really. But it's just you come into the presence of that person and you feel, wow, I feel loved. I feel accepted. I feel like somebody has my back. I wonder, imagine if we feel in our life the way that God welcomes us. How does God welcome us? And imagine if we could express that to other people. There's a song which I just love called God, When God Rang. We're just going to listen to about a minute and a half of this song.
Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord. Victorious warrior, commanding King of Kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran.
I was running a marathon in the Gold Coast about 3 weeks ago, and as I was running, I was thinking about this message. I was thinking, maybe I should get a T-shirt that says, I run because God ran. To me, it's amazing that the only time it talks about God running is when he runs to us. And it's that story about the father with the prodigal son, and the son goes out and spends all the money, and he finally thinks, man, I'm not getting any food here. Maybe I should go back to my father and I'll be a servant. I'll simply feed the pigs and get the food of the pigs. And as he's coming, his father sees him from a distance and he runs to him. And he gets a robe and he puts it around his feet and he gets the fattened calf and he throws this wonderful party. See, that's the way that God welcomes you and I. That's the attitude that God has to us, and that's the attitude we should have to other people. That kind of welcome is the kind of welcome that God requires of us. Now, who did God express this kind of welcome to? A couple of verses, Luke 15, verse 2. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the Lord muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then Mark 2, 16, when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, the people who do the worst of the worst, and maybe some of us resonate that, maybe not so much now, but maybe in our past, maybe even there's secret parts of us, even now, that might be doing some of those things that people would say are tax collectors and sinners and sexual deviants and thieves and liars and politicians, whatever those kind of descriptors we have for people are. But Jesus welcomes those kind of people, not just the respectable people. The Bible reading that we read earlier on came out of 1 John. It's one of my favourite books of the Bible, and I go back to it time and time again. And it begins with this: "We proclaim what you have seen and heard so that you might have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and is with Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." Fellowship is when we have something in common with somebody. Now, to have something in common with somebody, you've got to feel welcomed into that space. You can't enter into fellowship with another person unless you feel loved and accepted by them. And you can't have fellowship with the Father unless you feel welcomed and accepted in there. And the thing that I find most amazing about this passage is everybody's out there running, trying to get joy in their life, the house, the car, the beautiful motorbike that's out the front there, 1,800 cc's, just the sky that's bigger than some of your cars. You know, the parties we throw, the money we make, all those things, we're running relationships, we're running after them for joy, and the Bible says your joy will be complete when you come into relationship with you, with me and God. There is no greater joy in life than having fellowship with a fellow Christian in the heart of God. See, this is why the church is the hope of the world. This is where the world doesn't understand. We have the greatest solution to the problems of the world. Trouble is, we don't live them very well, and they don't hear us very well. But my sense is that when we do real fellowship, that is when the unloved are loved and the sinners are accepted and the publicans come in, the prostitutes come in, and whatever come in, when we've got fellowship with them and our joy is complete, that is the hope of the world. That is what we have. Now, I have this definition of a disciple. A disciple of Jesus is a person who can increasingly say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Think about that. That's a really challenging thing. To be able to say to Joe, "You know what? The way that you treat Tracy, follow me as I treat Linda." Or Beth can say, you know, to somebody else, "Hey, love this person in the way that I love them." When we can say to other people, "Follow me as I follow Christ," that's a disciple of Jesus. And I've got to say, that bar is incredibly high compared to the way that we often do church life. It's not just about turning up on Sunday. It's not just about giving your money. It's not just about serving. It's not just about turning to a group. When we can say to other people honestly and truly, "Follow me as I follow Christ," then we're being a disciple of Jesus. And since Jesus radically welcomes people, we must be people of radical welcome. When we don't welcome people, we are not following Jesus, and therefore we're not living the discipleship journey. So I'm going to finish in about 4 minutes' time with five things that I think you can do to be more welcoming of people, okay? I'm going to give you five hints, and then I'm going to give you some resources. And if you really want a book for free, there are some free books down here that you're welcome to borrow and use, because I think these are really helpful. First thing I'm going to say is just do it. Now, there's a thing called praxis. Praxis means you start to feel that which you do. You don't start with your feeling and then do it. You don't feel welcoming, so welcome people. You welcome people and you feel it afterwards. One of the things we just need to do is get off our tuff and do more of it. I am not the most welcoming person by nature. I'm not the most caring person by nature. I have lots of people say I'm caring. It is not by nature in any way, shape or form. I just know I have to do it. I do it and I start to feel it afterwards. Nearly always for me, caring is a decision of my mind that I feel afterwards. So some of us just need to do it and smile and welcome somebody with real enthusiasm. Stand up, put your shoulders up, put a smile on your dial and just go welcome somebody, which can be incredibly hard to do, but is a way of growing in your welcome. The second thing you can do is you can read that book called Love Languages. One of the best books I've ever read in terms of knowing how you feel loved, but how do you love other people as well. So I'd encourage you, if you need to grow in your sense of love for other people, grab a copy of that book. You can keep it, or you can bring it back next week once you've read it and somebody else can read it. Highlight it, do whatever you like. I don't want it back. Do whatever just is one of the best books you can ever read. Anybody read that book, by the way? Yeah. Okay, so if you haven't read it, and then do something for your partner based on Love Languages. Absolutely brilliant. Third thing you can do, if you don't want to do that, go to the website and just do the quiz, the Love Languages quiz, with your partner or your friend or your work colleague. It is really, really interesting to find out what the other person is like and then learn. One of the first things I did when I was at Tilopia Church of Christ, I was running their community services, is I ran around and said, what kind of chocolate do you like? What kind of chocolate do you like? What kind of chocolate? And I filled up my drawer of $100 worth of chocolate bars. And whenever they got depressed on Thursday afternoon, because that was normally when it happened, they'd come into my office and they could grab a chocolate bar. It was incredible that they could search through and find their special cherry ripe or whatever it was. But to love somebody else, not according to what I thought they needed. Nowadays, I'd probably have to put apples and carrots and vegetables, but not going to happen, okay? Number four thing you can do. Number four. You might want to go find the book The Kingdom of God by Tony Campilla. The Kingdom of God is a Party. Brilliant book for learning we need to be people who throw more parties for other people. Let's celebrate more. And the last thing I want to mention that you can do is expand your understanding of other people. People who you might not agree with. I listened to an absolutely fantastic podcast on transgender by a guy called John Dixon. Fabulous, just to help me understand. We've got a really, really good friend of ours who's gone through the transgender journey. And what do I believe? I don't know what I believe. So what do? Go learn something about it. Understand people's perspectives so that I can love them more. Now, at the end of every week, whether you like it or not, there's going to be a thing called a challenge. It'll go in the newsletter so you know what it is, but also this is the challenge I want. If you want to follow Christ, who'll tell other people to follow me as I follow Christ and be a disciple, start to do some of these. This is the challenge. This week, either at church or work or home or wherever you are, Invite someone for a meal. Now, it's not your best mate. We're not talking about somebody you already invite for meals, so this is not me inviting Dave, okay? This is me inviting Michelle. No, this is me inviting somebody else for a meal, okay? Maybe just somebody, a neighbour, or somebody at work who I don't normally do. Maybe I just need to have a conversation with somebody totally focused on them. I'm a 80% say stuff, 20% ask questions guy. I am really, really, really been working hard to be 80% questions, 20% statements, learning to listen a lot more. Or show somebody the love based on one of the love languages. Now, what's going to happen next week before the sermon as an item is I'm going to put that back up again and we're going to see if anybody has done anything about it. And if after week after week after week nobody says anything, then I'm preaching the wrong thing, okay? I'll change what I'm talking about. But the whole point of Christian discipleship is that we start to live out the faith that God has called us to. So let me pray for us, and then these guys are going to come up and lead us in our last song together. Lord God, it is amazing that you run to us, that you spread your arms and you welcome us, despite all that we've done. You love us and you welcome us. And we pray that we would be a people of God that would be known for the way that we welcome others, that they might come into fellowship with you and that we might have great joy in that space. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I must say that concept of praxis, I'm sure, works very well, but me and running and praxis never happened. Just, I tried, but didn't work. Okay, let's stand and sing our last song, and let's worship God as we go out for today.